Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Hey yo, I'm Addy. Is that right?
You're close.
Okay. Let's talk some Extreme Rules, which we just finished watching. And by the way, everyone, you're welcome.
Yes, Extreme Rules is in the books. We've got a couple of... it's a noteworthy show, I think.
Yeah, not fantastic, but noteworthy.
It's definitely... I mean, some things happened coming out of the show that are going to further some issues for some storylines, a couple of debuts, and a couple of new champions. So,
yeah.
Three new champions, I guess, in total. So,
in total, yeah.
So let's just pick it right up with... We opened... with SmackDown's latest number one new babyface, Randy Orton, against CM Punk. What'd you think of that match, Mo?
It was a decent match. I thought that was interesting. I mean, it was a last man standing. They blew through a lot of gimmicks so that the other performers over the night couldn't really use them. They used chairs, they used candlesticks, they used the announcer's table. So they blew through a lot of gimmicks that kind of took away those abilities to use them later on in the evening.
But did you notice? Do you think that hurt it? Hurt some of the matches? Because I didn't.
No, I didn't really think it did, actually. I just think it was interesting. I think it was just interesting to book it that way. It wasn't a bad match. It went on a little bit too long.
Yeah, middle of the road, about a three-star match.
Yeah, about a three-star match, which by the We Talk Wrestling scale means it's a... I smell what the Rock is cooking match, basically. We're kind of in the middle of the road. Not a vanilla midget is a 4-star.
Right.
Hell yeah would be 5-star.
Yeah.
Dropping back down to 2-star would be a Cena sucks, and a 1-star is Fire Russo.
Yes.
So I would give this a middle of the road 3-star if you smell what the Rock is cooking. Not bad. Just nothing of too much of note. Orton goes over clean, kind of as to be expected.
Yeah.
And the announcers oversold the quality of the match and the brutality. It was a match that featured a lot of very, very moves that were designed to look very, very physical,
mm-hmm.
but actually were very, very safe.
Yeah, safe, so decent-looking moves.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of, you know, but they didn't do a good job as selling these safe, hard-hitting, but...
soft-spoken.
Soft-spoken moves, yes, but as Triple H and Undertaker or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of the match that in some ways you could compare it to from the weapons used and such.
Same style, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, yeah, like I say, kind of middle of the road, not bad,
yeah. Okay.
Little long.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought. It kind of went a little bit long, you know, they could have ended, but that's, you know, that's so the pay-per-view got off, to an average start.
Yeah.
They
yeah,
did
probably the right match to open, too.
Right, I think so, and especially in hindsight, looking at this. Now, they did then a draft recap.
Thank
of,
God.
Some of the guys they
Thank
went
God.
Through. Yeah, well, no, that's...
And they featured four guys from each recap, including the most important, I guess, pick from the supplemental, because they put Kofi on the Raw side, and they mentioned him. And
right.
I think they mentioned Sheamus over on the SmackDown side.
Did
so,
they?
Yeah, I believe it was four on each on the graphic, so they didn't
mention
Swagger, who was not as important, apparently, as Kofi.
No, that's right. Well, and then that brought us to a bonus match that backstage, apparently, Teddy Long made Sheamus defend the United States of American title against Kofi Kingston.
Now, I just want to open with this. They opened with Teddy Long said to, you know, Sheamus, you're going to defend the title, right? Because you're now on SmackDown. And Sheamus says, well, he's not even a citizen of the United States. I want to see his birth certificate,
which
made me laugh. It might have been the highlight of the match.
Well, that was, probably. Yeah,
other than the finish.
You know, a little bit in reference to the old President Obama, Donald Trump, when we see his birth certificate.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I mean,
it was pretty funny.
That was pretty funny. And I'd actually like to see... Kofi's birth certificate, does it say Jamaica or West Ghana?
Both.
Okay, yeah. So, a joint birth certificate.
It is, yeah.
He was born half in Jamaica and half in the West Indies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, anyways, as far as the match itself was concerned,
wasn't clicking.
The crowd wasn't really into it. It was a bonus match. None of the guys being booked too strong coming into it. They did a lot of moves where I thought that's athletic or that's impressive, and it should have been
from
good.
From Kofi, yeah.
But, well, actually from both of them. There was the move where Kofi did a lot of it. Was a table match.
Sheamus was
out.
Athletic?
Yeah, he did that shoulder tackle over the top rope and such. But I know. Kofi is the more athletic of the two, I'll admit.
Right.
I won't say why, but he is.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I mean, Kofi had some really cool spots, and yet in between that was kind of a sloppy worked match.
Right, like your mom.
Yeah, yeah. So I, you know, I give it a 2 stars, so I would give it a Cena sucks.
Well, I'm sitting there about the middle, 2.5 star. You know, Kofi had some nice spots with, you know, avoiding the tables. The finish I thought was great, got a lot of
the
good
The finish was
a
really
and
nice,
really
yeah.
He worked very well.
He came off the top rope, right? Basically, Sheamus was standing in front of the table, turned around, he came off the top rope, and not really a splash, more like with his, almost like...
It was like a leg lariat.
Yeah, like a leg lariat into the table, and, yeah. And it looked really, really cool.
Yeah,
and it got a good pop, but the rest of the match really didn't.
And we got a new Intercontinental Champion bringing that title over to Raw.
Yeah.
So now the Intercontinental Champion and the WWE Champion are on Raw at this, and the World Champion and U.S. Champion on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So,
we'll get more into that in a bit.
Yeah, we will. And that brings us to an R-Truth promo, where he said it was a conspiracy.
Well, actually, it's not what he said. What he said was, it's a C-O-N, and then he paused because he couldn't spell the rest of conspiracy.
Piracy, yes.
And then said piracy. I mean, it's an old joke. He delivered it really, really well, so in that way it was kind of funny, but it just somehow came across not so good. And other things he said, you know, talking about how Morrison's breast stinks, and it's like, is he a comedy character or not? He really is coming across like a comedy character, but they're trying to put him in the main event. And that's a little bit strange.
Well, his
or semi-main.
I mean, when he goes in and he beats the guys up, he's very vicious. But then when he cuts a promo, he's you know trying to be funny.
He can't spell, folks, as he's not that smart.
Here we are, the
or
second.
Educated.
Yeah, exactly. Second time in as many promos, the what's following.
He can spell con because he has been in jail.
That's right, exactly. But now the what's again.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's
so
right.
He got the what's. And
he got the what's. Even though it was a backstage segment, the crowd was still chanting what?
Very loudly and audibly. And it just was, again, you know, I hate that. And you got to change that up. It's his delivery.
It really
takes away from him, from anything he's trying to do. Mm-hmm. So, next thing we had up next was the country whooping match.
Yes. Yes, we did. Not a good worked match. When JR got in there, of course, he looked terrible. I'll say this about this match. Swagger looked really, really bad. I mean, you know, he kind of in some ways got beat up by JR and stuff. And in a way that he looked really bad, I thought he was looked to not look dangerous, whereas he should look really, really dangerous, but Cole's incompetence should cost him the match anyways. Mm-hmm. It didn't come across that way. But Cole was kind of funny. You know, it's kind of funny, some of his lines also, when he was announcing later on, and he's kind of funny in the match. But I think the Cole thing has kind of run its course, and kind of getting bored with it. And, the quality of the match itself wasn't good. But I'll give it this, despite that, the crowd reactions were good. It got a better reaction than the Orton Punk, or far better than Sheamus and Kofi.
Yeah.
So, for that reason, I would give it a 2-star. You know, again, if you smell it, Cena sucks.
Yeah, I think in terms of a couple notes that I just wrote, because, I mean, it's not really overly important what kind of happened. I mean, Cole and Swagger went over. Cole came out in bubble wrap, so that was a big gimmick. He can't be hurt because he's covered in bubble wrap. So they did a couple slaps, and he didn't get hurt. And then with the strap, and he didn't get hurt. And then, you know, all it took was Waller punched him and pulled the bubble wrap off. So that, you know, kind of a quick ending to that that gimmick. Bobby Heenan in the dog catcher outfit, this was not.
No. You did mention that you think it's okay for Swagger to look foolish. Because he's featured, and that's
the most important thing.
I'm not so sure. I mean, if you're featured, but you're constantly featured looking bad, eventually you can't be pushed back to the level you want to be pushed to.
I mean, I didn't think he looked, you know, that foolish.
I thought he did.
You know, they won the match. He you know, he took some things from Jim Ross, getting the ankle lock, but everything was kind of done in a way where it was, you know, chicanery and trickery abound. You know, it's not like they, you know, they locked up and JR got the better of Swagger, you know, in the confrontation. There was always some sort of extenuating circumstance that led to Ross briefly, say, getting an advantage over Jack Swagger. And again, I'll take this over Jack Swagger, you know, barely being on SmackDown.
But you know what? I'll disagree because I'm not going to sit there and think. When I think back about Swagger's role in the match, I don't think to myself, "Oh yeah, Cole," or so. You know, he was in the ankle locker. He's being whipped by JR. But I'm not going to think, but oh yeah, it only happened because of chicanery. I'm going to remember, oh yeah, that guy was in the ankle lock looking horrible by a 40-year or 60-year-old man.
Right.
You know, who's out of shape. And that's so I kind of disagree. But
it's also a work.
Well, yes, apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently.
So the last thing I'll say on this is I wrote down, never do this again.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's...
But unfortunately, with Cole going over, you have to wonder if they're not going to.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, is who knows, you know, where they're...
And Swagger, of course, now, through the supplemental draft,
on
being
Raw,
on Raw.
Yeah.
Well, so he's permanently... He can hook up with Cole permanently.
Well, and him and Lawler on the house show loop, apparently, so...
Yeah, and obviously that whole thing where Cole pushed him was that they had an idea for a day and changed their mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so for an hour sucks. A day, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, move on to the next thing. What do we got next?
Next thing was a John Cena promo. Basically, what he did is he was
short and annoying.
Yeah, it was short and annoying, but the highlight the main point they were trying to get across is that John Cena hadn't been the champion for 10 months. It had been 10 months since he was the champion, so that was sort of the...
That was the first hint of what may
that
be coming.
That was the first hint of saying, okay, yeah, this seems to be the okay, then they're going to pull the trigger and get the belt on Cena here. So that was basically the gist of the promo, which then that led us to Rey Mysterio, the Great Mysterio against Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, you know what? Best match of the night.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I would actually probably call...
No,
I would actually put
no,
it
not
a,
the best
a
match
tie.
Yeah.
I would put it at a tie with the ladder match, but this was a Falls Count Anywhere match.
Mm-hmm.
We actually saw them brawl right up into the concourse, which is a gimmick that we used to see regularly that we don't see so much anymore, so that was kind of cool. And in the concourse, they were using the environment to come up with some original
garbage
moves.
Garbage cans.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And the
just
beer
flipping
stand.
Off different things and,
yeah.
And doing that in a way that reminiscent of what you see... The parkour, I guess they call it, for Morrison's always talking about. So I was thinking about him during it. They were trying to actually pin. Yeah, well, because it reminded me of him. Not that way. They were actually
parkour.
Trying to pin it. They were trying to pin each other on it. There was a few moments where it looked like Ray was trying to do things, and Cody kind of walked away from him. So it looked like they didn't maybe structure the match too well because, it kind of. They missed some spots for that reason.
Well,
and yet the match came across well. And I'll say this. I think the two men who was under the greatest pressure going into this event were Christian, because he was in a main event and he had to be over with the crowd and he had to perform, and Cody, because there's a look that he has the personality and his promos have been good lately. And within the company, they're kind of looking at him as maybe being able to push him farther.
Mm-hmm.
But if he didn't perform on a match like this, a big match, Falls Count Anywhere match, the odds are of him being pushed back down the card were very, very high. So he really had to have a good match if he wants to get to go to that next level as far as how he's viewed within the company.
And he
absolutely did, and I'm really happy about that. Cody might be my favorite act right now in the company. So.
Well, yeah, and you're right. I liked when they were in the back. They went up the ramp. They battled up the ramp. They were out on the concourse doing a couple pins. I commented to them, well, I'm glad they're using that to have the falls to get over the Falls Count Anywhere. Spots, and then you're right, it looked like going down the ramp, Mysterio was going to set up to do kind of a dive, and Cody just walked away, and then he got up on a ramp to go, look like he was going to try to run off the ramp and jump.
Yeah, kind of reminiscent of what Jeff Hardy did.
Kind of what Jeff Hardy did, yeah, and again, just Cody just walked away, so
yeah.
You know, Ray just kind of jumped down and ran after him. So,
but still, there was a lot of athletic.
I did want to point out as well the Boston Crab spot.
Oh yeah, that
on
was
the
awesome.
Railing there, going up the hand railing. He had his legs pulled over the hand railing, going down the steps there.
Yeah, Boston Crab into the railing.
Yeah, which is looked
and,
amazing
on the steps, which really looked so cool. And of course, Booker T didn't know it was a Boston Crab.
That's true.
Booker T, I think the Booker T experiment is officially over for me. I was kind of, I always liked him as a, I thought he had such great potential, but, and I was kind of going, give him a chance to learn the product and to get better, but he's been at it for a couple months now and he hasn't gotten better. He had a really, maybe his worst night ever, and I think it's just not working out.
Well, that's what I like about Booker T. But, the finish comes with, as I called him, the Great Mysterio, pulling out the Great Muta Mist.
Yeah, that's actually very interesting, too. He sprayed him in the eyes with a Muta.
Blue mist there.
Blue mist, yeah. And then he kind of had a heel expression on his face. And
mm-hmm.
He kind of did also in the graphic before the match, which was interesting, though. I don't think there's any chance they're turning Ray Rey heel, but I hope not, unless you're going to do something down the road with him and Sin Cara. That's the only reason you do it, but I don't like that.
No.
So, yeah, but
I did like the look. I thought it was kind of cool, the kind of
evil looking. Yeah, he had this, this looked a little more, dangerous.
Yeah, so, well, that brought us backstage where the babyface divas and Alicia Fox were all hanging out together, and Layla walking up, apologizing for what they've done, and the bottom line is, yes, we don't really like you, Layla, but we like Michelle McCool less.
Yes, and you know what? That it was to guarantee that Layla would get the face reaction in the match.
Just to set that up.
And also just to set up the fact that all the women would be there watching the match for what happened
later,
post-match.
Yeah. And, so then we got to that match. Now, Michael Cole back in the announce booth at this point now. They go back to him, and he's like, I'm back, and...
Right, yeah, and he was annoying for a little bit, and then he kind of toned down his over the top.
He did, yeah.
Character that he has.
He
so.
Did, yeah. So that brought us to the loser leaves WWE match with Layla against Michelle McCool. We kind of fast forwarded through most of this because we paused it to do something to go eat. And
We pretty much knew it wasn't going to be that good. But the point is that Layla goes over.
Reaction.
Yeah, she did get a pop for that, and then she left, and Michelle McCool is kind of crying in the ring. She's going to leave, and the crowd starts chanting, na-na-na-na,
they
goodbye.
Did the goodbye unprompted, which was...
it was good, yeah.
And then,
apparently she legit is leaving because she's going to spend more time with Undertaker at home, which is his legit wife, shoot wife, so apparently, yeah, she's...
He shot his wife?
No.
Oh.
That's someone else, probably.
Oh.
I'm not sure who. So Undertaker is...
Cue the music.
Karma comes out. Great music she had.
Yeah.
And they continued to play the music pretty much through the whole thing. And she came out and basically beat the shit out of Michelle McCool. And then they cut to all the divas backstage, all staring at the monitor looking scared shitless. And Michelle McCool looked scared shitless. Even Gail Kim, who she doesn't know who she is.
No. Yeah. Who is this?
That was
stranger.
A little odd, but.
The only thing I didn't like about her, I just don't think she did it very well, was she'd do the laugh and then just immediately cut really straight to serious.
Yeah, she kind of has she laughs evilly and then cuts into this maniacal, and is trying to get over her psychoticness.
Yeah.
Psychoticness?
But yeah, psychoticness, sure.
Yeah, but I think, unfortunately, more you want to see her, she'd be better if she was just completely silent the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, Austin could do it really well, and that's kind of the thing that they were doing, but it just didn't work for me. So.
But other than that, a good debut.
Great debut. And I like the fact that it was on pay-per-view.
Yeah, and again, hopefully it's going to freshen up that division. All the baby faces we're seeing backstage, I don't think I saw Eve among them. Was she there?
No, I didn't see her either.
That's interesting,
right.
Yeah. Natalya, Beth Phoenix, a lot of them,
Natalya, Beth Phoenix, Kelly, Rosa,
Tamina. Yeah.
Gail, you said,
I think that's it, so.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
No Eve or Bellas, basically, right? So then that brought us, we went backstage to Alberto and Ricardo, where Alberto's trying to get him to, say it with feeling, to announce him as the warm-up, announcing him as the new World Heavyweight Champion. So that brought us to a great promo package for the match, and then the ladder match itself, Christian against Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, the promo package, I want to just mention that. When they showed Edge his retirement again, I got some chills. And then, they just kind of showed, a little bit of his history and a little bit of Christian's history and a little bit with Del Rio. And then towards the end, they showed the promo that Christian cut on SmackDown. And if you didn't see it, it was basically a promo talking about how he'd never been a champion. This was not Del Rio's destiny. It was his destiny. And he had never even held the title. He had never even picked it up because he didn't think he was worthy. And he wanted to prove he was. And I got chills. I get chills thinking about it now. I got some goosebumps on this, too.
So it was a great promo.
It was just awesome. And that brought us to a match. And Christian came out, massive reaction. And I think he was the most overman on the card.
The most over babyface. Well, I mean, Cena's
a babyface, but he wasn't completely. In fact, to say he was over as a babyface at all would be wrong.
No, but I think Cena gets. I mean, I
think Christian got the bigger reaction than anybody, especially when Edge did show up in the match.
Maybe the finish, yeah. Christian got the biggest reaction. But coming out, Christian didn't get the biggest reaction.
But there was a universal Let's Go Christian chants. And we hadn't had that for anybody else, and we weren't going to get that really else.
No.
Anywhere else. I think he was massively over. Try and remember, Tampa Bay is also his hometown.
That's right.
He's Bill from Toronto, but he lives in Tampa.
But he lives in Tampa. Anyways, so the match itself, what did you think?
Really good match. Let's say I think it's tied with the
Cody
and Ray match. The thing that I like about it, and this is Christian, there was a lot of spots that were set up, but they weren't like you see so often nowadays. This guy's going to lie down and he's going to pretend he's out for a long, long time so I can set up a really, really obvious spot with the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't see those. I mean, the spots were set up, but they were set up kind of organically within the match, so it looked like a shoot the whole way through.
Really fluid match.
Yeah, really fluid match. Really like that. And very, very, very physical. Christian got cut, busted open hard way during the match.
Yeah.
He also had some marks on his thighs and bruising all over
bruising.
His body.
Oh.
And some really nasty looking marks. And Brodeus Clay came out.
Oh.
He also got cut open even worse.
Somehow. Not quite sure how that happened.
Yeah, he looked like he was a pool of blood. Yeah, pool of blood. And he looked like he was bleeding both from the back of his head and the front. And I'm not sure how that happened. But basically,
Christian was trying to be Mark Dominic, is what he was doing.
Yeah, exactly. But basically, he was looking very much like he was going to win, or even George St. Pierre, the way he looked at the end of that one.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't see me. But he was Christian was about to win it, and then Brodeus Clay came out, and then Del Rio comes out, and Del Rio's about to win, and it's because of all the bullshit that he's used to win, right? The chicanery. Out comes Edge, honks the horn. Edge came out in a Jeep.
A Jeep,
kind of the working man answer to the Rolls Royce that Del Rio came out. Wasn't it a Rolls Royce or was it something
I think
else
it might have been a Rolls Royce.
What'd I say?
A Rolls Royce.
Oh, what, did I?
Yeah. No, you're stupid, though.
Well, I was drinking during the – we might talk TNA, so I had a couple drinks. Yeah, so he came out and kind of answered that, and that caused Del Rio to stop. And then Christian hit a move, got
up
there.
That's what I like
about
Del Rio.
Yeah, well, okay, we'll talk about that in a moment. We're talking about how bad Booker was, but when Christian came out, it got a massive, massive reaction.
Wow, a decent.
I got a huge reaction.
No, I didn't get anything more than what he deserved. I didn't notice anything. The place came unglued when Christian came out for his match.
I think it did, and it also did when Edge was out there. Edge absolutely was so happy for him. The two of them were in the ring together. It was a long. Actually, I think you're right. It didn't. Wasn't a massive reaction, but it was. It was a long, constant reaction time. The crowd was cheering while he was in the ring celebrating. And, we sit here and we talk a lot of the times. I think this match should have gone on last because this was the best feel-good moment. Cena does win the main event. Well, a little spoiler alert, but he does win the main event later.
Spoiler
but nobody
alert.
Gives a shit. Well, it's just never mind. Yes. But, yeah, so anyways, nobody really cares because he's won it so many times before and it doesn't matter. But this felt like it mattered, and it's so rare. Titles still matter on a rare occasion. We talk about how they've ruined the value. But here I'm watching this. I'm like, this matters to Christian. This matters to Edge. And now it matters to me. And mm-hmm. I got chills again when he actually got the title. They're hugging in the ring. They looked like they were going to cry. And it was an awesome moment.
Really happy for Christian there. Yeah. There was a couple
he's earned it.
To point out Booker, when Del Rio threw Christian under the ring, Booker's going, I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, he throws Christian underneath the ring. And, of course, I turned to Addy and go, well, now he's going to be stuck with the midgets.
That's right.
But
he's
going
to court.
Yeah, the little people, I'm sorry. Yeah. But, yeah, Booker, well, what else did Booker say in this match?
Oh, well, every time he would do – the Del Rio would do something just underhanded, and then he'd go, you see, that's what I like about Del Rio. He must have said it about five times. You see, that's what I like about Del Rio.
And then eventually –
and then finally he said, I just like everything about Del Rio.
And we're like, jeez, Booker, he's just not good.
I thought it was funny, but Christian.
And it got a spear chant more than Edge ever got.
Well, and Christian was kind of leading it, he's going spear. But you could see and he did it just like Edge, and that's the thing is when they talk about playing to the crowd and such is that all Christian, had to do was kind of pull out the hair that he doesn't have and get down in the crouch, and everybody knew what he was going to do.
Yeah.
Remember
how Edge was trying to get that chant over and really never did, but they certainly chanted it for Christian tonight, and that was cool.
Well,
also thought it was just strange also, though, when you're doing this ladder match, and you bring out a ladder that's like 2 feet tall, like mm-hmm. they did, that's a strange looking thing, or 3 feet tall, or whatever it is.
Well, Christian got that from court.
Why would he use that? Yeah, he got that from the Little People's Court. But I'm like, why would you have that? You can't reach. You could put three of those up, and I don't know if you could reach the belt. But it kind of was used well in one point.
With the arm breaker.
Christian got hit when he was holding it. And it fell on top of him in a way that his arm was exposed, the same arm that Del Rio had worked on and he had the injury on earlier. And so Del Rio was able to put his cross arm breaker finisher move on it through the ladder. And just because, again, it looked organic and it looked very – it was just nicely done.
Yeah, natural. It didn't – he didn't pick it up or move his arm through, so it went. It just looked really –
in comparison to really actually, the match that probably is the best comparison would be that ladder match – or, sorry, that table match – with Kofi and Sheamus, where so much was looked like it was set up and waiting for each other and trying to perform spots.
That's
this was
right.
The opposite. And,
yeah, exactly.
And especially considering Del Rio's not used to these kinds of matches. And, Christian is that good a worker. He's really damn good.
It was really damn good. Now, yeah. So Christian, your new world heavyweight champion, he's going to get
the ball. Was it Cole who said this? I never thought I'd see this. Hell has frozen over.
Yeah,
I never thought I'd see it either. Hell's frozen over, and I'm damn happy.
I didn't think we'd ever see it either, so he's going to get the ball. He's going to run with it. I don't know if Mark Henry then is his first.
Well, we'll see how long he gets the ball for, because Orton is over there, and Orton did go over on Punk. So we'll see kind of what happens there. I kind of think that would be your SummerSlam match.
Do they have a Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view this year? Like in the summer? Because that happened in the summer where they had that one where they were all 4-ways or whatever. Because that, then you could have, a Henry, Sheamus, Orton, Christian in a couple months deal.
I can't remember when it was last year, but it was an utter fail. So who knows if they'll go back
Well,
to
just
it,
after the Nexus debut there. So it was in the summer there anyway.
Somewhere
at some
in that
point,
range,
July,
yeah.
June, something like that. But anyway, so then we go over to Miz. I guess that was the breakup of him and Alex Riley, because A-Rai's on SmackDown now through the supplemental draft.
Yeah, and A-Rai was sitting there going, "If you lose it, you'll get a rematch because you get a rematch." And Miz was like, "What the hell you mean? Lose it? Basically." Oh, and A-Rai's just like, "Well, you're not going to lose it because you're awesome." And he tried to chant it, and
well, he tried to say, "You are," and he just before he could say, "You're awesome," he cut him off and said, "Never say that again."
Never say that. And then he kind of just
he said
almost,
again.
Yeah, that's right. And he kind of almost – then he kind of left and kind of almost hit him with his jacket over his head
as he's
leaving. And it just – and then A-Rai had this look like, what a prick. And, I was wondering why they were together at all, to tell you the truth, since they're on separate brands.
Well, that continuity is so important.
Well, it is. It is. Thank you, Gorilla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
So here we are. So then the next one was an unadvertised lumberjack match, I guess, for the tag team championship.
This pay-per-view is probably only going to do 80,000 buys. And – would have done 80,001, most likely, if they had advertised it.
Oh, Diana would have bought it.
Absolutely.
But Zeke and Wade Barrett against Kane and Big Show. This was a lumberjack match where the lumberjacks were all jobbers, except for there was no Zack Ryder.
Yes, because there was a ton of crowd signs, people wanting Zack Ryder. His YouTube show's awesome and so popular. So you punish him by not putting him out there.
There were woo-woo signs, Broski of the Week signs, visible.
Yeah.
And
buy my shirt, bro. Was there a sign for that or something like that?
Follow me on Facebook.
Are you serious, brother?
Are you serious, bro? Yeah, are you serious, bro? But anyway, it was. The Lumberjacks read like a who's who. Santino and Kozlov were out there. Slater and Gabriel of the Core were out there. Those are probably the biggest names. And then you had Primo, and you had D.H. Smith, the cowboy.
That's what I want to talk about just for a moment. In case you don't know this, D.H. Smith has now been given a cowboy gimmick, where he's kind of got these red tights with gold on them and kind of red, almost rustling cowboy boots type things.
Right.
Then he's got a white cowboy hat now and like a silver suit jacket. Not
like
the top
JBL.
Of it. Silver suit jacket, but over his – well, even JBL had a – but JBL only came out in a suit when he was wearing a full suit.
Right, yeah.
This is just a jacket with wrestling tights.
Yeah.
Now, they're trying to give somebody who has no personality, or they're ribbing him. Either way,
Cowboy Bret Hart looked terrible.
Exactly. Bret Hart, his uncle, was originally going to be given the gimmick of a cowboy and riding out with a horse and stuff like that, and he came to them and said, "I'm not comfortable with that." at the time, you know, because where I come from, which is Calgary, you don't pretend to be a cowboy unless you're actually a cowboy, since we have the Calgary Stampede here. Yeah. But that's when he said, why don't you put me with the Anvil, my brother-in-law, if he's willing to do it. And history was made. Yeah. So
you're getting off topic here, because so we're just talking, some Primo was out there, the Usos were out there. I'm trying to think of
Tyler
Trent
Rex.
Beretta, Tyler Rex. Didn't see Chris
Everybody
Masters.
But Zack Ryder.
Titus O'Neil. I'm assuming, and a bunch of people I didn't even recognize, so I'm just assuming
NXT.
Those are NXT jobbers that were out there, but I was just like, okay. So anyway, really super quick match. The story of the match was Zeke very, very, very impressive body slam on the Big Show.
Yeah, he picked him up, he held him for a moment, and dropped him.
Well, he held him for a moment and then launched him up even higher.
Yeah, he turned him over.
That
he turned him over.
Fucking strong.
Yeah,
like
that's
that
true.
And if you noticed, Cho wasn't posting the knee.
No. Sheamus is this was not Hulk Hogan on Andre.
How about Zeke? How do you think about him?
Sorry, well, they look so much alike.
They do. Very pale.
Yeah.
Both very pale.
But no, this was not Hulk Hogan on Andre the Giant where he barely lifted him. I mean, he really got him up, put him over.
Well, but Andre was 2,000 pounds.
Yeah, well, that's true. And by next year, he'll be 2,500.
Totally.
But, you know, Zeke is legitimately not a small human being himself.
Really?
So, yeah, big dude. Very
anyway,
strong.
Story of the match, very, very impressive slam. And then blind tag smack on the back by Wade Barrett, and you know, look of confusion of Barrett going, I got this, let me handle this. And then by the time he turned around, boom, choke slam, I think it was, or a punch, whatever. Then Barrett takes the fall, 1, 2, 3, and Zeke's just staring at him going like, what the hell? What did you do?
Yeah.
And then Barrett's going back going, you big dummy, why'd you let me get pinned?
Yeah, basically. So, and coming off the Christian ladder match, which is the buffer match, obviously, and that was a 4-star, you know, vanilla midget ranking match, and then this one is a 1-star Fire Russo match. I mean, just why was it there? Nothing. But
you know what? I shouldn't. The thing is, I can't give it. I give it maybe 1.5 stars because I mean the match itself, it's nothing, right? But it did at least further a little bit of the story of the Zeke Barrett thing.
Which
so
nobody
can't,
cares about.
So yeah, but I can't say it did nothing, right?
Okay.
Because it did. That's where it gets that extra 0.5 star, because it did at least further something. So that's enough said about that one. Rock on Raw, birthday party ad is next, promotion. Then we get the cage match.
Yeah. I just want to mention that coming into this, it didn't look like there was going to be defending all the titles. I mean, you didn't have the IC or the US or the tag titles advertised.
Right.
Instead, you did have the US title. All the titles were defended except for the IC, and that's because of the IC – or, sorry.
Yeah, IC.
Yeah, the
Barrett
IC champion Barrett was in the tag match. So
right.
So I think that's good. I mean, you want to put – to me, you want to put the titles on pay-per-view.
Was the European champion on this?
I do not believe D'Lo Brown was on this pay-per-view.
Okay. I'm just checking. Yeah, he could fight Sheamus.
Yeah.
The former champion of the United States of America against the former champion of Europe.
That's right.
There you go.
All right. So, anyways.
So, Cena wins his 10th heavyweight championship in a triple threat cage match. I guess, I don't want to say the highlight, maybe the low light of this was a really sickly, scary Miz double superplex spot.
Yeah, it was coming not quite off the top of the cage, but about halfway up
rotate.
The cage. But it was on Miz. He didn't rotate. To me, he looked like he wasn't quite right ever after that.
Yeah.
I think he was in a lot of pain. I don't think it just run his bell, but he landed more on his shoulders and neck. And as soon as it happened, I'm like, that's the exact type of move that after year, the dangerous move that Edge took that led to his early retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So, quality of the match, it was pretty good for most of it. I would end up giving it a kind of, I'm probably still going to give it 3 stars. It kind of is pushing it for that, but so you smell what the Rock is cooking rating, you know, that middle of the road. It could be 2 stars. It went on too long again. Just seemed to drag, and it lost momentum about 2/3 of the way through.
Yeah. I agree. I think it did really kind of think when Truth came in, just as Morrison was about to get out, and Truth slammed him on the what do you see? He took a running knee and kneed him right into the steps.
Yeah.
Kneed his head into the steps. There. So a little different type spot. Normally you see
Morrison.
Just,
I was hoping for more spectacular moves from him than we got. And we got a couple.
We did get a couple.
We got a Starship Pain kind of off the top, and that was cool. But you know, that was the hope we'd see more. And Morrison was also attacked, like you say, by Truth, as was Cena. Nobody else. Miz wasn't attacked there. Again, Truth's facials are his facial expressions are fantastic as a heel. His
facial
eyes,
expressions.
His facial, yeah, not his facials.
Okay.
My facials, according to your mom, are fine.
Yeah.
But he really, the way his eyes are, he looks like really a complete asshole, right? Just
right.
Completely pissed off, and I think he does a really good job on his facial expressions. So
I think I said when he gets in the ring, the intensity and the douchiness of him just really comes through.
Yeah,
it's the promos they're writing for him that just don't.
They're not working for you. But a lot of people did like his promo from last Monday that you didn't like.
Well, that's true, but I don't know, something about it where they're just not connecting to me. It seems like two different things. Kind of a comedy, the man's keeping, and then just
Well, like on the back of his trunks, and now it says "shut up"
instead of "what's up." Well, he's
and that's funny, and that makes me laugh. But again, does it? You know.
I didn't mind that when he came out into wherever they were. I don't even remember where they were last week, but his shirt,
I believe it said, "Uh-oh, here comes the truth."
Yeah.
And on the other side, it said, "The truth is on fire," something like that.
Yeah, truth is on fire, and then, it said, "shut up" on the back. But I remember he did say that wherever town they were in where he'd normally go, "what's up?" He said, "shut up." And I think that's good. You know, I like that.
Yeah. It's not as good as Edge's shirt, his farewell shirt, which said on the back, what was it? Won it all, done it all?
Won it all, done it all, yeah.
That's wicked. I wish that was actually his catchphrase for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, especially, as we went, it seems like a month ago now that he had to retire, but a few weeks ago anyway, I guess it was about a month ago that he retired. But three weeks. Anyway, but, we talked about all titles that he'd won. So he really has won it all, done it all. So,
yeah, awesome.
Is there anything left for him to do? I don't think so. Won it all, done it all. See, there you go. So I win again. This is awesome. That was the pay-per-view.
I want to say a couple more things about that cage match just quickly.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We saw both the good of Cena and the bad of Cena in this match. Excuse me. Whoa, that was the beer.
Okay.
But what we kind of got from Cena was a couple times where he did a move, like he did this C4 move where he flips over with John Morrison.
Yeah.
He looked really good, and that's on him to flip over as much as it is. Morrison flips backwards at the same time as he flips kind of forward,
right.
And he'd really look good. And there was a couple times I'm like, he looks really good. Then there's a couple times where he looks so terrible, it looks so awkward. There's a moment where he had the STFU, or STF, on Miz, and he's crawling towards the ropes, and crawling at about the same speed as what a snail would crawl across your floor, right? And he gets stuck beneath the ropes, and he starts sticking out his tongue like he's being choked, while this guy who's he's riding on top of is barely pulling himself forward. I'm like, there's not enough power or momentum behind what's happening
for you to
act like you're being choked the life out of you, and it just looks stupid.
Well, they were doing the cheese grater spot against the cage too. Looked awful, and he's like, ah.
Yeah, he's just overselling it. So you see the good, and you see spots where he looks good, and then you see the good and the bad. So it was kind of a best of both worlds, a tale of two cities in this match for John Cena. Also, I want to say it was kind of interesting that this late into the match, you get to the top of the cage, and they're both sitting on the top of the cage, and between Miz and John Cena, and Cena punches him, and the crowd boos, and Miz punches him, and the crowd cheers, and this is after Miz is getting this cheering, and he's worked a complete heel match and being a complete prick and gotten a prick. But he's gotten a complete heel reaction through the entire match, except for when he was against Cena at the top there, because Cena just kind of was turning the crowd off again. Also, I just want to say John Cena being the champ again. I'm sure that's because tomorrow night is The Rock's birthday. It's in Miami. He's there. And that's the reason he has the title, is to come out as the title and have that moment where he has the championship against The Rock. That's why I think he got it tonight. Also, we kind of were speculating when when Christian won the belt that we know that Del Rio is apparently going to be working heading into SummerSlam and being in the SummerSlam against Cena is the long-term plan that we've heard. Yeah. So if that was the case, kind of figured that Cena would be champion for that. It didn't make sense to have Del Rio and Cena facing each other if it wasn't for the belt. So that was another reason that we were thinking that it's starting to look that way, that he was going to get the title tonight.
That's
and
right.
I guess Miz probably hasn't taken off quite to the level. But it does make an interesting thing for me. If Del Rio has that, you know, that feud kind of set up with Cena,
right,
and Morrison and of Truth have something, what the hell do you do with the Miz? He's kind of a man without a country now.
Yeah, and he wants his country back. No, I mean, I think to me, Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, that would be. I think that'd be the most interesting one, and he could go against Rey, look good, and beat Rey, and it doesn't hurt either. It doesn't hurt Rey.
That's right.
I think that's it. I don't know how you set up that feud, but that's what I would do too. I like that. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So I mean, and I think that yeah, it definitely works sort of for me. They're both in that same level of they can go to the main event, but when there's not anything to do, then they can kind of hang there. And again, there's not. I can't think of really another. Baby, I mean, like Punk and Ray have done their thing, right?
Yeah, so Punk's apparently thinking of shortly leaving the company on a sabbatical. Right. He's burned out, so you know, he may not renew his contract, and what that means, we'll see. But he you know, looks like he won't be there long term.
Long term, but again, we're saying, what do you do now? And I said, yeah, I mean, they're with Ray, they're still. You said so Miz and Ray, I think, just makes the most sense. They had a really good match, I thought, or I don't know if it was a match or if it was just a tag that they were in and they worked.
I think it was a match on Raw.
On Raw
at some point,
they were
cross promoting
really
all this bullshit.
Yeah,
but yeah, and I think it was quite good too. Yeah, if I remember correctly, good quality. So you know, I mean, I don't know what else we're gonna. Yeah, overall, I give it a three star for the event. Smell the Rock's cooking, middle of the road. Not something you have to go out of your way to see, but if you did see it, you'd probably go, ah, it was all right.
I would give it I would give it 3.5. I give it slightly above, right? Instead of an in the middle, I give it slightly above because, again, I like the surprise of the Karma.
Yeah, that was a highlight. There was a highlight, you could say, right?
Well, that's the thing. The Mysterio Cody match, definitely a highlight. Christian winning his first championship, you know, brings it up. And that match in general was great. And, again, you had a decent opener. You know, nothing, you know, the women's match and then that unannounced the tag match. Neither one of them went long, so it was, you know, they weren't great. They were, you know, the worst of the night. But, you know, it wasn't like it was Cole and Lawler at WrestleMania length, right?
No.
Where you had all this. Oh my God!
You know, I certainly enjoyed it more than I enjoyed Mania.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah. And so
there's nothing where you're going, oh, you got to see that. You got to see that. Just a lot of, hey, that was pretty cool, or that was good. But there was a few highlights, so yeah, not bad.
Not bad. So overall, okay. Well, one of the only thing I guess maybe we might want to do as that wraps up the pay-per-view is since our last show we did a post draft show. Of course, the next day they held the supplemental draft.
Yes.
So I thought maybe we could just go over a couple of those. We've got a little bit of time. We're about 43 minutes in, so we got a little bit of time. Might as well touch base on some of them because some of them are noteworthy, and other ones are just who cares, right?
Okay. So you go ahead and bring them up, and I'll talk about.
So
it.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So Daniel Bryan to SmackDown.
You know what? The thing I like about that is that you have Daniel Bryan now. I consider Christian to be the best worker in the WWE, and Daniel Bryan is not far behind. An argument could be made he's the best worker.
Right.
Probably have to take a heel turn, but I'd like to see that out of Bryan. I don't think now's the time, especially with what's happened with Christian. He's kind of got that sympathy babyface thing going right now, so it's not a good time to turn him. But if I could see Daniel Bryan work a program with Christian and the quality of matches, I think I'd excite the hell out of me. So that's what I'm hoping for with Daniel Bryan. Other than that, I'm not really sure. I guess he could challenge Wade Barrett. But, you know, not a lot else to get me excited about Daniel Bryan. He kind of has fallen off, you know, it seems here in the last just a little bit. Since, I guess, January, since Royal Rumble area.
Well, yeah, that's right. When he was still the champion. When he lost the U.S. championship to Sheamus, and then they got bumped off Mania, then he ended up being part of the
Apple.
But
even then, if you'll remember correctly, he wasn't getting kind of a really big fan reaction. Not as big just slightly prior to that as he was getting, say, 6 months ago.
No, as soon as they put him sort of with the Gail Kim thing, and they when they sports entertainment,
I guess those two will have to break up now. That's
devastating. Oh, they did. Gail Kim broke up with Daniel Bryan via Twitter, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Seriously, yeah. They tweeted to her. She dumped
him. So she's
going
to be punished like Melina and Morrison?
Possibly, yeah. Well, they were at Sky Bar, so.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Next one, as we talked about earlier, was Jack Swagger to Raw. Of course, makes sense with the Michael Cole thing.
And Jack Swagger should be, theoretically, should be up at the top of the card for that.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, he doesn't look good in these matches. But theoretically, you can have Swagger versus, well, I guess who's fresh there for him? Cena, I guess, would be fairly fresh. And I'm not sure who else is,
Morrison.
Actually. Morrison, I guess, yeah.
Morrison, yeah. Kofi's there. They've had some history
but,
there.
Yeah, Kofi, it's not fresh.
But,
Ray wouldn't be fresh.
It would be fresh to 70% of the audience.
Though, that's true.
Because 70% of the Raw audience watches SmackDown and vice versa, or doesn't watch SmackDown and vice versa.
Yeah, according to Linda McMahon.
Yeah, and Tough Enough gives a whole lot.
By the way, we need to get back on the show.
We do. And speaking of people that are friends of the show, that brings us to the next guy, the Great Khali, going to SmackDown.
Well, he's there to kind of work behind the stage and help put together some of the matches, I understand, with his great wrestling mind.
Well, he's going to be agenting, doing some booking.
And working in a tag team with a youngster out of here, out of Alberta, Canada. I can't remember the fella's name, but apparently there's some guy pretending to be a Bollywood star. He's was an independent wrestler here locally and was in FCW. He's a big dude. And they're going to be a tag team. So that's so Khali can kind of show him the ropes, show him how to work and a lot of holds and moves and selling.
Raj Jeet Singh or something.
He's going to teach him how to sell. He's going to teach him psychology.
Yeah, well, yeah. And bumps.
Yeah, yeah.
How to bump. So,
and how to bump.
Yeah, but so that looks to be where that's going. So we'll have to get Khali on the show after.
He'll have to talk about that. I'm sure he has a lot to teach the young man.
Yeah, well, for sure. Yeah. Next one, I'll spoil it, but both Jimmy and Jey Uso to SmackDown. Jimmy goes first, and I thought, oh my God, they're really gonna ruin this. But then, lo and behold, just I don't know what it is. About 10 picks later, Jey Uso.
Yeah, thank God. I was scared they're breaking up the team, and you know that would have been devastating to ratings and pay-per-view buys.
That is, yeah. So the next one, speaking of pay-per-view buys, Kelly Kelly to Raw.
Yeah, because I guess she's perfect. Honestly, she's a perfect
victim. Well,
that does
make sense.
She's a perfect victim for karma, and she's very popular, very good looking, so she should be on the most popular show.
Well, exactly, and as I say, and they're really sort of high on her, as you know, focusing on the nice blonde all American girl. So that does make sense that she'd be moved to Raw. The next one,
and Tess fucked her.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. We'll do that again.
Yeah,
but JTG to Raw. So that's – I can't wait.
Yeah, so I mean I guess that's giving them a new set of jobbers too. What you've really done is freshen up those jobbers so new people can see them.
That's right. Yeah. And now Alicia Fox to SmackDown. I guess she's going as a babyface. I don't know.
Well, she was in that babyface group with the Karma thing tonight.
That's just it. She changed her hair there recently. So.
Yeah. No, she's got some purple in her hair now or something going on. But it doesn't matter because she wasn't one of the Barbie dolls that Karma was going to beat up, apparently. I don't know. Maybe she is. Have to talk about Alicia Fox?
No.
I mean, come on.
No. William Regal goes over to SmackDown, so you've got the potential of a William Regal-Daniel Bryan match.
That's true, and this is actually maybe kind of William Regal's last chance to get a kind of mid-card to upper mid-card push, because he's essentially on NXT an announcer right now and awesome at it, much better than Booker T. But, that's kind of what I hope. I'd like to see him get one last run where he just gets to work a series of good quality matches.
Well, I was going
to
say.
Again, Christian versus William Regal. How good would that be?
Well, that's true. That's true. Former un-American partners.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Also, I just like the idea, as you said, is that this is the – SmackDown's a wrestling show, right? So there is actually legitimately the potential of a 15-minute – go through a commercial break.
But is he
break.
A heel or face right now?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
right.
I'm sure he'll be a heel. Yeah, he just plays heel. So.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that there is that option of him being able to do that. So that really is kind of it. And I think that's probably what he would enjoy to do, quite frankly. I don't think he's you know, figuring he's going to be the world heavyweight champion anytime
soon. Not at this
point, I think he just
no.
wants to work some matches and end out his career.
He's still very valuable to the company from the point that he can teach a lot of things to young performers.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, as we said before, for some reason I'll never understand, Vince McMahon doesn't like his work.
Yeah.
Has never
yeah.
liked his work. No. He likes him as a character, likes his promos, doesn't like his work.
That's right, yeah.
Likes his charisma, doesn't like his... What?
Yeah.
Anyways.
But anyway. Yoshitatsu goes to SmackDown.
Yoshitatsu is extremely underrated. I don't know if everybody realizes how good this guy is. A really good athlete. Well, I think he's fairly charismatic. He's got a bit of experience. He's been wrestling internationally for a long, long time. But was not used at all on Raw. Was never even given a chance to be used.
Not really.
And
no.
I hold little hope that he will be on SmackDown either.
No, exactly. I think, you know, it's just, again, we're moving where the people on Superstars are from. So, Drew McIntyre to Raw.
That's an
interesting one. Yeah,
yeah, that's an interesting one. I like that Booker T said, well, he couldn't get over on SmackDown, or basically he couldn't win and move to the top level on SmackDown. He said this in commentary during a match. So how's he going to do on Raw, where it's really loaded in talent? Just burying the shit out of SmackDown. But again, that's Booker T.
And burying the shit out of SmackDown. And Drew McIntyre all at the same time. That takes talent.
That Drew McIntyre, I mean, you know what? Again, they haven't put him together with Sheamus again. That's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see them as a team. Mm-hmm. They'd be split to the separate rosters. Somebody with potential, but who does he work against? Who does he go against? He's going to be in the same level. He's going to be in the same spot on Raw that he was on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Kind of mid-card, maybe challenging for that mid-card title. But
without the baby faces to, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, who's he going to work with again? Kofi Kingston again?
Had he stayed Had he stayed on SmackDown, again, that's another Daniel Bryan guy, right? I mean,
It's funny that they've moved a lot of people who've already worked together. But it was pretty obvious watching this that they had no plan.
No, I'm doing well. That'll bring us to. I mean, we've got Natty to SmackDown, so yeah. I mean that doesn't really again matter.
But didn't Tyson Kidd, who her legit boyfriend, have been together for? I think like a decade. I believe they've been together.
Yeah.
So he was also moved in the supplemental draft, I believe, to SmackDown.
Don't, spoil it. Oh, yeah, there he is. Tyson Kidd to SmackDown. So that's all right. Good.
So that's good. I'm sure that's, you know.
That is good. So Curt Hawkins then goes to Raw. Speaking of, we're into the section here where it really doesn't matter. I mean, Curt Hawkins goes to Raw. You know, now I guess he's on the same brand as Zack Ryder, maybe. I don't know.
It doesn't matter. It just make it easier for them to work together doing vignettes on Zack Ryder's show, which is hilarious when they're together.
Oh, yeah.
But Chris Masters to Raw.
Interesting.
That one, yeah, I think a lot of people wouldn't have known that Chris Masters, who you kind of think of him as being a Raw guy because most of his career he has been. Mm-hmm. He was on SmackDown for last year, didn't do anything. Back to Raw.
Well, he got that little bit of a feud with Tyler Rex.
Yeah.
Nothing major.
Not somebody they job out weekly. He's kind of like a superstar guy who usually goes over.
He's someone that's quietly really improved, though.
Yeah, I suppose.
He is actually improved quite a bit.
Let's be honest. He's never gotten over the fact that that he was popped for violation, so he got himself in great shape. In great shape, clean, and then was buried by Triple H for being smaller. Never gotten over.
Well, then
that.
he got the peck bounce babyface gimmick. Right?
Yeah, but that's a comedy gimmick. He's never recovered from what Triple H said.
No,
basically, Triple H buried him on Raw for that, which was really unfair because he's like, you want the guy to be healthy and actually, because you look at him now and something you wonder might be going on.
Yes, exactly. Well, we talked about Kofi Kingston going to Raw, so that we'll skip past that. Ted DiBiase to SmackDown.
Ted DiBiase to SmackDown is interesting. He's now there with Orton, who got moved over, and he's now there with Rhodes, who got moved over. But again, he's not with David Hart Smith, so they won't be tag champions anytime soon, which I kind of thought was coming. Actually, I really don't know what's going on with Ted DiBiase because he doesn't have his own gimmick. He's floundering. He doesn't seem passionate right now, so I don't see him moving up. But at least this is an opportunity for a fresh start for him. Let's hope.
He
has talent.
He needed this move, to be honest. This is someone that, when he getting drafted to a new brand, because as you said, he's got all the potential in the world, so it's just a matter of, you know, can he find it there? And again, I mean, switching it over to SmackDown and maybe getting a new writer, getting some new ideas, getting some new possible matches. I don't know, but just the change of scenery is something that, I mean, he may flounder, but it's an opportunity.
It's an opportunity.
So, and that's what he needed.
You can say the same thing for, well, I mean, Cody Rhodes last year got moved to SmackDown and got a new opportunity and a new gimmick and a new everything, right? Same thing with Tyson Kidd. He's kind of in that same category. He's the next guy to go over to SmackDown.
Well,
You'll notice the SmackDown got more people, but the better quality people probably went to Raw. You know, with Kofi Kingston and Swagger and such, but
the higher on the card guys.
Yeah, the higher. So you know, I'm thinking, but yeah, Tyson Kidd here is again much like Ted DiBiase. But we should mention, and I hope he doesn't get fired. But just because you get drafted over to the other brand doesn't mean you're at all in any way that they have plans for you or are safe from being released when they clean the house. Because we've seen many times they draft somebody over. We've seen them draft over on Raw, not even a supplemental, and fire a guy the next day. Just out of the blue for no reason, because they decide they don't have anything for him. So
really, we'll see by mid-May, you know, what this is. But next one, Tamina to SmackDown. I guess that reunites with the
Moves her apart from Santino.
From Santino, yeah.
But they weren't really doing much there anyway.
No, so that's the thing. Tyler Rex goes to Raw, just a different, I mean, Tyler Rex really didn't get any...
He's not ready to be up at the main roster, and now he's on a live show, but it doesn't really matter. They love his look, but he's not ready.
I disagree. I think he's ready. I think he was, I mean, he was the guy, he was the FCW champion, he was the guy, he's ready. I mean,
being FCW champion doesn't mean anything. There's been people who've been FCW champion aren't ready. FCW is not as good quality as what you used to get. Where the guys are in terms of developmental, it's not as good quality as what you could get if you were a champion in a territory day. If you're a champion in Mid-South or Stampede or the Portland area, anything like that. That went more to me than being champion FCW. Being champion FCW means that they think you have a good look and they want to push you right, but it doesn't mean you're actually ready or you're that good at work.
That part's true, but I think that Rex, I mean, it was his.
To me, he looks awkward and not so much awkward actually. He looks very tentative in the ring.
Again, I don't think he's going to get a chance on Raw, but it does reunite and be able to
re-spark
his feud with Chris Masters, also moved to Raw, so they can follow each other.
Well, I'll say this about him. Perfect example, we mentioned this before, where if you had a good tag team division, you could put this guy in the tags and work his way up and learn, and of course that's not something
he's
that
also someone that he has a good look that like vignettes can do him well.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
He's this well-built caveman look, basically.
Yeah. So, Unga Bunga KB Jr. But I think that he has someone that vignettes going to Raw would serve him
well. Would help him. And Hunter likes vignettes, so maybe we'll see them. But I don't think so.
A-Rai goes to SmackDown. We talked about that during the pay-per-view.
He's still going to be a heel, right? You're pretty sure?
We got A-Rai?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he ran in and without saying a word got RKO'd his first appearance in on Friday, so I would think so.
Yeah, I don't know if that means much. I'll say this about A-Rai. You got A-Rai, who's split off from The Miz and doesn't really have something, and you got Brodeus Clay, who split off from Del Rio, even though he showed up tonight in that match. That's kind of like him trying to suck ass to still keep a job or have Del Rio try and move him over. It was what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're going to see them split up. I'd like to see two of them form a team, not necessarily even as a tag team, but just as a unit group. Because I think they would benefit from that with each other. A different look, different style. They're both coming kind of from the same place character-wise. So, I mean, that's what I would do with them.
You said unit.
Yeah.
Beth Phoenix goes to Raw. Someone potentially to stand up to Karma.
Yeah. I think that's her role.
Yeah.
Especially with Natty.
She really has, though, been getting softened.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been seeing some of her photo shoots, you saw her on the pay-per-view tonight staring there, that she's not the Butch.
No, she's not.
Right? But also,
maybe they'll put her together with the Glamazon.
Glamorella.
That's what I would love.
Yes.
I thought that was fantastic. So.
Last pick to end, we talked about a little bit, is Sheamus to SmackDown. So another then that gives Sheamus another good move, top-level heel now on SmackDown.
Theoretically, even after his loss tonight, he wasn't buried in his loss to Cody.
Nope.
Theoretically, he's the number two or three
possibly
heel.
One.
Yeah, like on that brand, when you look at it, you got
Barrett and Henry.
Yeah, exactly. So Kane, did you say?
Him, Barrett, and Henry. Okay. They're Henry. They're all like number to me. They're all
So you need to train
B and C.
Yeah, you kind of need to. It's like they're weak up top with their heels, but on the other hand, they're loaded in heels. Like if you look at their roster, there's like 7 baby faces and 13 heels or something crazy like that.
Really?
I really be saying it for a while. I think he'd make an excellent baby face. And
yes.
I kind of think it's like on the one hand, you can't afford to because you don't have many established heels. But he's not hot as a heel now anyways, and I think he'd make a good baby face. I would do that. So
yeah.
I just want to say, well, before we go then, I know we've now gone a little longer. But
yeah, we're almost an hour here. So
yeah, but
just
real quick, I don't think we can. What do you think is going to happen tomorrow on Raw? What do you think is going to happen with The Rock and his birthday celebration of Cena? What would you do? What do you think is going to happen? Just speculate a little on tomorrow's
show.
And Miz, the follow-up with Miz as well, not having a title.
Well, again, I do think Miz and Rey. But I do think that you go into...
You think you're going to do that, or that's what you would do?
Both.
Both, okay.
Both. But I think that... you're leading into my comment as the cage match was over. Is this become a four-way? Because the next pay-per-view over the limit is in 3 weeks.
And even this looked for me like a while, like this was going to be a four-way cage match, and then they decided to do a three-way.
That's
and they need probably some sort of gimmick for. Of course, maybe you don't want to do that if you're coming up with a four-way match, a fatal four-way
shortly
after. Well,
if they are having this fatal four-way pay-per-view we talked about, I don't know if it's on the schedule for the summer here.
But you need some sort of, coming off an all-gimmick pay-per-view, mm-hmm. You still can't, I don't think you can go no gimmicks on Over the Limit.
Now, but also then there's, do you do Miz and his rematch, one-on-one with Cena, and then you do Truth and Morrison one-on-one?
Yeah, who knows? I mean,
still leaves Ray out. Maybe
again,
Ray and Drew McIntyre.
What do you think is happening with The Rock tomorrow? What do you see?
Okay,
now
with The Rock,
let's get to that, and then from that we can kind of build back.
I hope Yerpel's there.
Well, we all hope Yerpel's there.
But
and the Mick Foley won't be.
Mick Foley will not be. I don't know about the coach.
The coach we've heard. Yeah, I think that could happen.
But
it is the biggest birthday in the history of TV.
Television,
not in the history of WWE or Raw.
Television.
In case
all
you're wondering,
time, all
that's
my
what they
life.
Said.
Television, yes. Really, I honestly, I have no idea what you do. I can't even, you know, it's The Rock's birthday, comes out for a promo, you know, balloons hit. I don't know, maybe what I would
it's gotta
do.
It's got to further something.
Well, you would think so, yeah. What I think it would further, and again, what I like is I would like Alberto Del Rio to come out and confront The Rock, and you get some Alberto Del Rio and Rock going back and forth, which I think would be entertaining.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they can do that, and that would lead Alberto Del Rio into John Cena,
mm-hmm.
right? Which, because Cena's got to come out, and you got to have
sow the seeds now.
You've got to have the stare down with Cena having the belt.
Yeah.
Or the championship, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's maybe not what it's going to be for. The title, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what that's what it's going to be for at Mania, but at the very least, you want to give that impression now.
Well, I think you want, yeah, I mean, I think you come out and you have the, I think you save The Rock to the end, you come out, you have the birthday, you have the balloons, and then you have Cena's music hit, and then, you know, you have the interaction back and forth, and basically it ending with The Rock going for the next however many months until Mania, 11 months, don't lose that title. So in 11 months, I can win it type deal, right?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of, and you possibly do that. But again, Cena's going to get booed tomorrow.
Oh, of course.
And I really think that I know they're going Del Rio as the heel. I mean, Cena's characters are very stale. I mean, I've said it before. I think he already is a heel in many ways. I think they just don't even realize it. They should pull the trigger and have everybody fail to win that title from him and then have The Rock face him for that title. Everybody think he's going to do it. And instead, if they could pull out a match where Cena comes across like a heroic guy in that match against The Rock, taking everything but not giving up, you can turn him back babyface coming out of it because The Rock gives him respect. And I think that there's a lot of money in heels, obviously, when people pay to get them, But sometimes you turn somebody heel, you can turn them face shortly afterwards again because if he does a good job as that, people respect him more.
Yeah, well, no, there is that. So, so that's your thing?
That's kind of my thing, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, we'll look forward to the Raw birthday celebration tomorrow. I think
probably
that's
the only thing
be,
on Raw that might be worth watching. And Miz is. I'm predicting Miz will cut a good promo on losing.
There'll be some promo. There's a couple guys that have moved over there.
Some fresh guys. Yeah.
Fresh guys. So I get an idea. But yeah, we'll see. So, but that's going to do it for another edition of We Talk Wrestling.
Yeah, just
do you have anything else?
Yeah, before we go out, I just want to say that this woman comes home from work, and she's really surprised because her husband's already there, right? And she's always home from work before him. She's like, oh, my God, what are you doing here? He goes, pack your bags. I won the lottery. She's like, oh, my God, what should I pack? Where are we going? He goes, I don't care. Just pack them and get the fuck out. O-U-T.
What?
That's it. That's my joke. Are we going out on
this
that?
Is this a friend of yours? What?
No. No. That's O-U-T. We're done.
We're done.
We went out on a high note with a great joke.
What are you Oh, that was a joke?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were just telling a story. Okay. No, I didn't. Yeah, no, it's okay.
Well, it was funny.
Well, in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.